Father, we thank you. God, we give every bit of this message, every bit of this night into your hands on behalf of us all. God, we intercede for holiness right now. We intercede for righteousness. We intercede for your heart with our spirits. We thank you, God, that you give us all that we have need of to discern and understand the times that we are in and what we need to do to be productive in your kingdom. Help us, God, to grow in selflessness and preserve us in all of our ways. We ask this in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that the blood of Jesus covers everyone here. The blood of Jesus saturates us. Blankets. Blankets, God. We welcome your agape love here now to rest. Right now, Holy Spirit, we give you all rule and reign. All rule and reign in our hearts. Well, tonight's message, it's going to be on the ministry of reconciliation. Who is involved in this ministry of reconciliation? We're going to find out. We're going to start off in Colossians 1 at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So that right there is saying that Jesus, the plan that he and the Father had was to reconcile all things back to God. You know, when the enemy fell, when Lucifer fell from heaven, turned into Satan, it threw everything off. So there needed to be order restored. And Jesus made that possible. He was sent to reconcile all things. Let's move ahead here in 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 17. And now here's our part to play in the reconciliation. Let's listen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And that old, so we were just talking about how everything got thrown off after the fall of man, after the fall of Lucifer. The fall of Lucifer from heaven sent him to a place where he tempted man. Man gave in, man fell. And now, so this is why we're saying the old has passed away. That's what we're talking about. Jesus made a way for all that old to pass away. Behold, the new has come. Verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of you, God has given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We are all entrusted with the message of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So all this is saying, we're entrusted with that message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. And God pleads through us, his children, for other people to become reconciled to Christ. And a lot of that is done in your prayer closet. So let's define reconcile. Let's really get a grounded understanding. Reconcile means to restore friendly relations between, to make or show to be compatible, to make one account consistent with another. I kind of like all those definitions together. So we're restored back to God. We're also called to restore others back to God. We are now where we were old and incompatible. We are now made new. We are now made compatible with God, and we make the account consistent with one another. The only thing that makes our account consistent with God's account is Jesus for bearing our sins and destroying all that debt. You know, that's so reconciliation, we're really kind of growing into what this means for us. Let's go to Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, That right there is talking about the account. We're moved from darkness into light. Reconciliation is salvation. It is the salvation message, reconciliation. The work that Jesus did allowed us to be reconciled. And, you know, the work that Jesus did, everything that mankind would do, the depths of darkness that we would go into, the depravity that we would go into, beating each other up, all these malicious things, sinning against God, you know, Jesus had to pay for every bit of that on the cross. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but realize that he knew what he was paying for. So don't let the devil discourage you from allowing that payment to wash you. Because that's his blood. That's what it does. And God has said this multiple times through Pastor Barbara and through the messages that he gives. He has said that the greatest miracle is salvation. Now, we are wanting signs, wonders, and miracles. We need them. We desire them. But the greatest miracle is salvation. Reconciliation is a miracle. God has said that he wants to make us into miracles first, so that we can then be the miracle that other people can see. People should no longer recognize you according to the flesh, which is who you once were in the world. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. And that's talking about, you know, we no longer regard. That's Paul talking about the church. We don't go there with people anymore. We're seeing through spiritual eyes. And that's what we do. But also, we need to live that so other people see the spirit that's in us. You know, it's coming off so strong that they see there's something different there. And that's what it will register to them. You know, without having their spiritual senses open with the Holy Spirit, they'll just be like, there's something different about you. And that's a great thing. That's an indicator that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is, you know, Jesus is going to fish men through you, collect men to himself through you. The greatest miracles are changes of the heart and the mind. And what is salvation? Salvation is this person who was in this deep, deep sin, gave up on their life. I was there, had no hope for a future, had no hope for enjoying my life. I was miserably depressed, all these things. Well, who gave me, did I just wake up and get that hope? No. Jesus brought me to himself. He showed me his love. He reconciled all the bad garbage that I had in me. He took it away. He was mending me. And there's my testimony. There's our testimony. And that is a miracle. Someone who was dead to life, done with it, wrote everything off, Jesus changed that. You know, because we can see great things. We can see signs, miracles, and wonders, and they're wonderful. But a changed life, amazing. That's what moves heaven. When we become a miracle, we can then be used by God for signs, wonders, and miracles. You see that? You become the miracle. You become the changed, transformed vessel. And then God's going to flow through you to create all these other miracles, including others' salvations, but including, you know, however God wishes to move through you. He's going to be moving mightily through those who are sold out to him. You know, when we are reconciled and growing in God, we can be used by God to reconcile others to him by whatever means he wishes to use. We then have a testimony endowed with resurrection power. I kind of repeated myself there, but let's understand that when we have this testimony, why is that testimony so strong? It is full of resurrection power because that's what it took to resurrect you. That's in you. That's in your words. When you keep walking with God, you own that. That is in you. It is Christ coming out of you. And we need to protect that more than anything else. That testimony includes, so here's the crucial part to any testimony, any true testimony. It was never me. It was only Jesus. Like that is what points them to Jesus. Because you can't take credit for the change. It's only Jesus. You know, and that will win so many people. And that has planted so many seeds and watered some seeds. Ephesians 1 in the middle of verse 18. that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And we're going to talk about the power that's in us, that power that's in our testimony, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. We're supposed to know all these things. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So that is showing you that the power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave brought him to heavenly places. The word says high above heavens is where it took him, actually. It took him beyond. That is in us. That's alive in us. That's available to us. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame the devil, him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Your testimony is a weapon to destroy Satan in other people's lives and in yours, because you're going to need to remind yourself of your testimony at times. That's going to defeat the devil in many battles. And when we give our testimony and it moves people, there's all kind of things happening that we don't see. There's all kind of things in the spirit realm that are changing. You know, because what we see is us speaking something out. But really, the power of that truth, the weight of that anointing, is destroying huge demons, huge strongholds within people. I mean, that's how powerful the word of our testimony is. It's supernatural and it's amazing. We become and remain reconciled when we truly realize we can't fix our life on our own. And remember what brought you to Jesus. You know, many people needed to get to rock bottom, and this is what they realized. We can't fix our life on our own. The light that we become is only because of Jesus. The light that we maintain is only because of Jesus. The light that increases in us is only because of Jesus. If not for him, we would still be in darkness. You know, when those things get really in our spirit and it just clicks, you are a reconciled child of God. And you are insulated and protected. And we're going to talk about that more later, about the insulation we get when we're truly reconciled. All of our brokenness has led us to him. And, you know, people sometimes have to go down dark roads in order to reach God. I mean, why is all of this, all the end times and all the devastation that's going to take place, is that because God is just judging people and wanting to destroy them? There's an element to him being holy, and judgment has to come, but it's the mercy of God that's trying to wake people up so that they don't go to hell. God has been bringing, the finishing works of reconciliation to our lives. He has also been preparing the hearts in the world. So what did I say there? God's been doing his finishing touches on us, on our reconciliation to him. At the same time, he's been lining people up in the world to reconcile them. We are going to need to line up our finishing touches of reconciliation with God's timeline for others, because we are ministers of reconciliation. So God's been doing a work in different people's lives to line them up for the harvest, to line them up to be reconciled, and he's been lining us up to reach them. God shows us what is in us and helps us to deal with it. He is at the same time showing those in the world what is in them. And, you know, and the enemy gets in, the enemy does his thing, but God is in control. What are we seeing in the world? We're seeing a lot of unrest. What does unrest require? Unrest requires peace. People are getting hungry for peace. So all this mania, all this panic that's going on, I'm sure the enemy's having a good time with it, but what it's really doing, what God will use it for, is to give them the peace that they so desire, that's only found in him. And, you know, as things escalate, as the end times escalate, God is going to remove comfort. He's going to remove certain ways that people would receive their peace that lulled them to sleep. true peace only comes from reconciliation. The hearts of the lost and dying world are crying out, saying, fix what is wrong with me. Show me who I really am. Show me where I fit. People have this everywhere within them. People are seeing that they don't fit. So this is coming up from people. They're realizing there's something in me that wants to be more than I am. And what is that? That's the seed that God planted in them, saying, you're my beloved child. I have a mighty works for you to do. They don't know what that is. So then they'll go wherever something similar to that to get that itch scratched. They'll go wherever people show something supernatural or something life-changing. They're going to say, okay, I want that. It's that part in them that belongs to God that is doing this. And this is really God preparing for the harvest. You know, God's really doing this works. So people are seeing where they don't fit. The enemy, here we go, is trying to provide answers to these desires of the people's hearts. He answers them through being the counterfeit and influencing compromise. He answers them by giving the counterfeit, which we were just talking about, and or influencing compromise. He'll give them a little bit of something good because there's all this bad behind it. So, and we wonder, why can Reiki, which is a, you know, it's a New Age healing, why are people healed from these things? People that don't go to Christian ministers are getting healing. How does this happen? The enemy will do that because he's storing up all kind of deception that's going to never lead you to Christ, because why do you need Jesus when you're getting healed over here? You know, that's how the enemy's working this. The enemy has put opposition against God's true church by offering alternative, which is false, spirituality and worldviews to answer such questions that people have. In the existing church, opposition comes in two forms. Those that are not involved in spiritual matters, they don't believe in the move of the Spirit. That's one group. They're shut off to spiritual things. And the other group is those who believe in spiritual things, but do so, work them in ignorance according to God's character and the requirement of holiness, and or they're doing it their own way. So they read the Bible a little bit, say, I can do this. All right, God, I'm going to go do it. But they're not doing it on the proper foundation. It's good to have that zeal. The Word of God says, I can do this. I'm going to do it. That's good. But doing it your own way and doing it without a proper foundation will lead to all kind of mess. We're going to see why. These two groups will seek to get in the way of the true ministry of reconciliation. So forerunner churches who God has been preparing to bring in the harvest have been being taught exactly how to do it. We're one of them. He's been answering every question. He's given us so much information. We are really well-versed in how to deal with all kind of things. These two groups of people are going to try to get in the way of that. And when you think about all the different things that God has taught us, he's been teaching us how to deal with people. Because people in the church, unfortunately, are going to try to mess up what God's doing. And a part of this teaching is to train us to understand, all right, God wants to reconcile hearts to himself. I'm concerned about souls. I'm going out to do God's deal. Okay, but well, other souls are going to come and be in opposition to this. They will be doing, these other people, false reconciliation that will not have a lasting or fruitful work. They may also do no reconciliation, refusing to view people how God does. The first group who resist the Spirit that we were talking about will stand strongly on morality and law. And so here's some scriptures just to bring to your remembrance why they need more. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. John 3, verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. God does what he wants, but many ministers are doing what they want or think they should do and will fight against God's move. We were made to be born in and flow in the Spirit. This allows us to be transformed into who we really are, only found in who we are in Christ. You know, the more that I grow, you know, I'm realizing, you know, the more of the Holy Spirit that's in my life, the real me is coming out. You know, God knows how he made me. You know, so people that are not embracing the Holy Spirit, they're not who God made them be. And they're trying to say, look, I'm Jesus. Come to Jesus. I'm representing him. It can never work. They need to be properly remade in the image, which only the indwelling and relationship with the Holy Spirit can do. And this goes right along with that. Romans 8, verse 29, for those God foreknew, all of us, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. So we would have Jesus's mark. We're like him. That's our big brother, and he's so much more, but you know, that's kind of the vein of that scripture. You will have ministers that are in their old wineskins, their old man, and this old man can in no way move with the new. It will be church as usual that will no longer hold up. And how long has God been saying that? And so when we go out there, we see all these types of people. We're about to get into the second group, but you know, we don't want to count them off, you know, and engage in hatred or whatever. We need to be discerned with this, and we need to, you know, pray for them as we're led, because you know, they still need to be saved too. You know, there's, and God will lead you in that, and some things can be a fine line. The second group will appear to be hyper-spiritual. So these are the people, they believe in the Holy Spirit. They think it's awesome. They want to get out and do all kinds of supernatural things and just live that. They will appear hyper-spiritual, but are operating outside of the reins of the Holy Spirit in their lifestyles. Now, some scriptures to learn from. Leviticus 10, verse 1, now Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and offered unauthorized or strange fire, and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out of the presence of the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, to those who come near me, I will show my holiness. In the sight of all the people, I will reveal my glory. But Aaron remained silent, and I would too. That is quite a scene right there. So, and God has said many times, and this scripture exactly shows that, you know, people are calling for his glory, his glory, his glory. But if they're not living holy, what does his holiness do? What does his glory do? It consumes you, and it'll burn you up, because it burns out all iniquity. It burns, that's what the fire of God does. It comes in us, it empowers us when we are his, but it will also burn, like the baptism of fire, which we've all gone through. It burns out the garbage, and they had garbage in them, and they were consumed. Luke 11:35, be careful then that the light within you is not darkness. And when I was, you know, so we were talking about the strange fire, the unauthorized fire. That's saying, my point here is, when people serve God in an unauthorized way and are expecting something to happen, good, well, not really, because what is allowing you to do that supernatural thing? If it's not God, what is it? And so your makeup is what the supernatural that comes out of you will, you know, that's the supernatural host, okay? It's the Holy Spirit when we're made in God's image, living for him, but no human can do anything supernatural without help. We're fallen, we're cut off, can do nothing without help. It's either from the Holy Spirit or another spirit, which are demons. Luke 11:35, be careful then that the light within you is not darkness. In the New Age community of which I come out of, a lot of their teaching can be centered around this, love and light. Yeah, we know there's evil. We'll overcome it with love and light. Love and light. Well, is there light darkness or is it true light? So be careful then that the light within you is not darkness. And that's Jesus warning people, you think you have good things in you. You think you have a good drive. have that drive, do that, but be careful that it's not coming from darkness. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, and here we can tie this right in there. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness? Jesus warned of the false light. False light is something that may appear as light, but is actually darkness. The enemy is a counterfeit artist, and the spirit who is at work behind the scenes to destroy the church from within is the Antichrist spirit. And we can see that here. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one, which is the Antichrist, the coming of the lawless one will be accompanied by the working of Satan with every kind of power, sign, and false wonder. God's giving us signs, wonders, and miracles. The enemy will be coming also with signs, wonders, and miracles. And, okay, so that Antichrist spirit, anything that is not done with the pure heart of Jesus, and you're doing things and striving to do things in a certain way, which is not how God wants you to do, can open a door to that, and we will be talking about that very soon. And let's go right into that. False anointing and such spirits as the Kundalini spirit go hand in hand with the Antichrist. Now, Kundalini, for those that don't know, alternative spirituality, be it Buddhism, any other thing. Kundalini is a word, I believe it's a Hindu origin, for a power that you're able to receive through breathing exercises, through connecting with the universe, through having your chakras, which are demonic portals, but they don't call it that, through all these things supercharged. So to make it more simple, people want Kundalini energy to do spiritual things, levitate, have parts of them even change. They do this for a heightened awareness to become better people too. You know, they think they're becoming better people when they enter into a heightened awareness, and then they won't see like a human does, and they won't respond in the human ways. So that's what that is. So that Kundalini spirit goes hand in hand with the Antichrist, and that Kundalini spirit is a spiritual force that does spiritual things. It's a fuel holder with spiritual power in it. We are going to be contending against these spirits in other people. Before I go ahead there, so the Kundalini spirit, can you get that if you've never been into New Age practices? Can you get that from a church who thinks that they're flowing in the spirit but are not living right, therefore have open doors to the enemy? Yes. Anything you're trying to do for God, but you're way ahead of him, you're outstepping him, and you're not doing it through the Holy Spirit, which requires holiness, you can easily have your door open to all these other false spirits if you've never dabbled in the occult and all these types of things. So here's where we're kind of building up here. We are going to be contending against these spirits in other people, and we will see reprobate leaders over certain congregations as we go out on the road, and including people in the congregation, stuff like that. There may be, we may go into one house because God has called us to go out, right? You know, a decent amount of us. We might go into a church. This guy's okay, that guy's okay, but they're not led by the Spirit of God. God sent us there to go wake them up, you know, to give them the true anointing, the spiritual food that they need. We're sent because God sees the pigsty that's going on here, but the leader could be totally gone and they don't know it. Or a subordinate, like a assistant or whatever, that still have a role in the church, they could be totally gone. And God wants us to be able to see these things because we're going to need to pray a certain way and understand, okay, this spirit and this person's trying to sabotage what God's doing. I need to know how to react here. So God's equipping us with discernment. God is equipping us to be unlike these false teachers and prophets. These false teachers and prophets are consumed with and in the Antichrist spirit. In the Word of God, when it talks about the Antichrist, who is right along with him? The false prophet. And the enemy has been setting a stage within the church because he knows what God's about to do. He's been influencing people. Some are sold out to Satan, some are not. But he's been influencing them in the ways of the Antichrist to try to counteract what God's doing. This is where the false giftings gets their fuel from, this demonic anointing we're talking about. This power and demonic system works in the New Age, the alternative spirituality world, as well as false prophets who have left God by refusing correction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and pretty much told God, step aside, I want to do my thing here. They're using their platform for something else. God is not a cruel taskmaster. These people have been refusing God's kindness. That's what led them to where they're at. And some of them are sold out to Satan. I mean, that's just a potential thing that we'll see. God is the only one who equips, but some don't want to wait or pay the price to be equipped. If someone is refusing to submit to God in the way that God is requiring them, there is a stubbornness of the will that is involved. This aspect of a person's soul, their will, is unable to be used by the enemy. This is one way in which soul fragments are formed. Such a person uses soul power in order to serve God, meaning they are not serving God from their spirit but out of their soul. They are trying to do spiritual things but are not doing them through the Holy Spirit. They are doing them from the soul and through the Antichrist kingdom. Satan comes in you to wound your spirit man, to disable your spirit man. Then he sets up families and kingdoms and all this in your soul. He uses your soul to do all these things. He inflicts your soul with bondage so that he can work through them. You know, the people that think they're working by the Holy Spirit cannot be working by them, but they're working through an Antichrist spirit or a like spirit that has their soul in bondage. So we're talking about a person who's been kind of going down this path. This lack of unity with their own spirit and the Holy Spirit will splinter a person off and create a hole in their will and other parts of their soul, which gives the enemy legal right and access to this person. This part of them wandered off into spiritual territory with no covering and are now captive to the enemy. So that may be a little complex. Let me explain that. So a person, they've been resisting correction from God, but they still want to be in the church. They still want to do their thing. They're still going out trying to do things in the name of Jesus for whatever reason. Okay, when they're doing all these things, they walk away from who they really are, and that causes a split. And especially when Christian ministers go wrong, there's so much territory there because they've been advancing, maybe properly, advancing in God for a little bit, doing spiritual things. But then when this split occurs, the enemy has all this spiritual real estate, which was their authority in Christ. He now has this real estate to control others with. And so it's a very complex thing. I don't want to get too complex with that. But to make it simple, you don't want to go down that road. You don't want to serve God in a way that he's not calling you to serve him. You don't want to pick up an anointing that's not yours. You want to be content with what God has given you. And God's given everyone here a wonderful calling, giftings. And I say that to say this. If you're wanting someone else's thing, anointing, gifting, calling, position, you are splitting yourself off from the Holy Spirit and from your spirit, who is your true identity. And you are assuming a false identity over in this field where Satan lives. Satan will unfortunately work with that and use you against people, and you wish that you're not, you that you wish you would not be used in such a manner. So a person dealing with this is working out of a false identity. All things are possible with God, not without him. If someone is continuing to try to work for God without him and not in unity with him, they are doing spiritual things outside of the spiritual God, which is in the psychic realm and aided and controlled by demons in the realm of the second heavens, which is where Satan fell. He has all this real estate under heaven. He can't go to heaven, but he's all around this whole area. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. There are so many demonic things, fallen angels, all in this area, of which if you're not covered by God, you're not even a fish. You're surrounded by all kind of big fish in a pond that you have no business being in, and they will eat your lunch and really bind you up. And I say this also, realize where people are at when they have this going on in them. You know, when you see people that aren't right and God tells you they're in the psychic realm, they're doing this, they're doing that, they may have really wandered there. But there's also a learning process to where, you know, there's still a mixture in someone and they may pick up psychic realm things. They may not be developed enough in the prophetic anointing and in discernment to differentiate. So, you know, there's depths to this. So God will keep us covered. God will keep us in check. When God sees these things in us, similar things to all what I'm talking about, his love offers guidance and correction in order to keep us from going this way. However, because our free will is so valuable to God, he won't break it. God will not break your will. He won't intrude on that gift that he gave you. If time after time a person refuses to let go of this control and dissatisfaction, which causes them to want things that they shouldn't want, or which causes them to keep moving forward in ways that God doesn't have for them yet. If this person refuses to let go of this control and this dissatisfaction that leads them to work apart from God, they will be absorbed within the Antichrist spirit and may even receive a seared conscience or reprobate mind. So because of God's protection of free will, which is his greatest gift he's given us besides Jesus in all of heaven, because he's so protective of that, if someone keeps refusing and refusing and refusing, he can't break that will because he would be taking back that gift. And he gives good gifts. He gives perfect gifts. He doesn't take them back. You know, he gives without repentance. So these people that have gone down this road, they will bear false fruits, which serve to soothe an already corrupted conscience. And these fruits are temporary. And these fruits we're talking about, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all these things, that's what I'm talking about here. They will have false forms of these fruits. The enemy will use these fruits to mask what is really going on, to fool others. I'm a man of God, look. And, you know, they get help by doing that too, you know. Spirits in them want them to look like a Christian. So that's going on as well. So these fruits, they are not lasting, they are not deep, they do not restore nor facilitate the healing and restoration process, which is what we're called to do. We're called to minister reconciliation. And the people that we may run across in the house of God that have these fruits, they are not reconciling people to God. And, you know, we're kind of going into this depth here because God really wants us to understand what's out there. And there's a protective kind of, like a mother hen, nature that we should have over people God is sending us to. We're not going to hate the people that are coming against them, but I'm doing God's work. I'm getting this soul saved and I'm loving them. And I don't care what the devil's doing through you, but I'm moving forward here. That's kind of a boldness that we're going to need desperately. So it's all about reconciliation. So in order to reconcile others, we need to be reconciled. So let's learn quickly how to maintain reconciliation. The enemy wants to get in the way of this reconciliation that we have with God. One way he does this is by covering us with everyone's favorite word, condemnation. Where we are in essence hiding from God. That's what condemnation is. You're hiding from God because you're ashamed. Another way that the enemy gets in the way of reconciliation, our reconciliation with God, is through the false peace of an unrepentant life where we are walking away from God. You may have a pure heart before God in this sense. He sees you doing your best with what you have and where you are at. You are progressing well on the schedule of becoming sanctified. We are still being perfected. And you know, I say this and ask you to discern this. We are still being perfected, but God's call is higher still, meaning that he is expecting more and more from us. We do have God's grace when the enemy comes in like a flood and life becomes hard to navigate. this grace, God's grace, works to our favor when we are not agreeing with excuses and compromise. God's grace does not work with this mindset. Oh, well, God, I'm still being processed. I can get away with this sin. I'm a work in progress. You know, cannot work there. God's grace is not for that. His grace is with a heart that is continuing to battle through the rigors and obstructions of life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. These afflictions are due to a fallen world, the enemy, and the vehicle of the fallen world, the flesh. These altogether are our opposition. We don't need to get caught up in judging ourselves to the point of accepting the judgment sentence of condemnation, but we must have a contrite heart before God that hates to let him down. I'll repeat that. And this is key. This is really key into balancing our day-to-day life. We do not need to get caught up in judging ourselves to the point of accepting the judgment sentence of condemnation, but we must have a contrite heart before God that hates to let him down. In order to stay reconciled to God, you must have grace in operation. Grace to fix mistakes, grace to not fall into condemnation, grace to refuse to let the sinful nature and flesh have a hold. We are to take our lives very seriously, yes, but we need to be understanding with ourselves in a way so that we can see the situation without emotions clouding our view. So the enemy has the weapon of condemnation. God has the standard of holiness, and we're standing in the middle of that. The other side of the coin of condemnation is false peace, which we were talking about, which says, go ahead and do that thing. God will understand. So the enemy, he wants you either in condemnation or false peace. The condemnation keeps you disqualified as you are agreeing with the enemy's sentence of condemnation over you. It works to undo the work of the cross. The false peace seeks to get you to move outside of God's covering by disobeying his laws and commands, and never feeling truly sorry or repentant about it. Never feeling truly sorry. It grieves God's heart when you say you're sorry, but you don't mean it. It grieves God's heart that you are refusing to heal other people because you don't want to admit your mistakes. And that keeps you in unrepentance, because true repentance is saying you're sorry. And who's going to facilitate that repentance process? The Holy Spirit. He's going to let you know, you did this to this person. I'm forgiving you of your sin. But in order for you to be reconciled to yourself and to this person and to me, I need you to do more than you're doing. I need you to be more truly sorry, because you left a hole in that heart right there and you're not wanting to heal it. I want to heal that heart through you. I want to heal that heart through the love I'm going to give you when you forgive yourself for making that mistake. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to fill you with my love. And then you got to go to that person and mend them. Please do that. So all of this goes against the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about, I was just talking about there, true repentance. Going against God. People speak, or which the enemy tries to get you to agree with, to not be repentant. The enemy wants you to work from either of these places, condemnation or false peace. That's a juggling act. And that really is a juggling act. So you do something, you're not pleased with it, you need to move on and not let the condemnation hit you, but you don't want to move on without being repentant, without being truly sorry. And the enemy will come in. I've been tested. I can't count the times of, just the condemnation comes and you got to kick that thing out. It can suffocate you. And it is like a verdict that Satan renders over your life and says, here you go, that's yours. And then you're under this congestion, you're under this thing, and it can be very heavy. Well, we can get out of it through different ways, through seeking God, but through also the Word of God says, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Devil, I reject your little verdict that you're trying to throw my way. and we really need to fight with that more. So there's that. But then there's the false peace of you know, not being concerned about your sin. So we can't overly grieve our sin or shortcomings, and we can't take it too lightly. There's the middle ground. All right. I love this scripture. This scripture is full of resurrection power. This scripture is talking, it's a prophecy about Jesus and the works that he's going to do, but it's for us too. Isaiah 49, verse 8. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, reconciliation, I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. God will give you as a covenant to other people, your covenant with him to other people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, which you will encounter many. That's the harvest. They're in prison. You will say to them that are bound, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourself. Stop hiding. Come out. Be seen. Meet your Father. Meet the one who I'm in covenant with. You come with us. You become that covering. We're going to need to represent God to so many people because God has become unrecognizable through the church. God has been the vengeful, judgmental God, or the God that doesn't really care, or the God that allows all sicknesses to happen. And he could do something about it, but that's not God. We are his body. If you want to do something in the natural, what do you use? You use your body to do things. We are his body. Go forth, we're going to say to them. Show yourselves to those in darkness, we're going to say. Resurrection power reaches down to the depths of the pit to bring you up. The glory, which we learn here, is resurrection power. Glory carriers reach to the depths of where people have been dropped. Glory carriers, which we all are, reach to the depths of the pits of where people are at. When God does this work within us, this reconciliation, we can then be used to do it to other people. He said to each one of us who were a prisoner, go forth, dust yourself off, enter into life. Go ahead. Show yourself to the people. I'm pleased with you. I want to show you off. I'm in love with you. I want you to shine in front of the people. So all this reconciliation, it allows us to become a miracle that God can then use to make other miracles. And then those miracles will make other miracles. All right, and so I was talking a little earlier on about a covering that happens when you're truly reconciled to God. We're going to learn about that right now. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. When we are reconciled to God in every way, we're doing everything we know how to do. We've allowed him to sanctify us. We become armored with light. That's a glory carrier right there. This light is meant to attract the broken people to you. This light is alive. It does stuff. Just when it's in you, it's doing stuff. God has already put it in you. God has already put in you what certain people need. God knows who he's sending you to, and he's filled you with the ingredients for the perfect work of reconciliation. You have the testimony and the healing power that God used to heal and restore you with, and you can give that to that person. You gift that to that person. You love that in to that person. There are heavenly encounters that are meant to take place, meaning the heaven in you and heaven's purpose for other people's lives are coming together. Heaven in you, because you're in covenant with God, you walk around with him, you're attached to heaven, you're blessed with every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It flows down to you. You give that to other people, and you meet the heaven in them, heaven's divine meeting, divine appointments, and then boom, there's an explosion of God's miracle working power, you know, God's glory. So we're talking about the armor of God. We're talking about being glory carriers. That's done when we're reconciled to God in every area of our life. that's done when we keep our reconciliation with God, and then we are qualified for this scripture, and it's up there. I'm going to read three verses from it. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And we were talking about it attracts people. Well, what does the Word of God say? Verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light. It's going to draw people supernaturally, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you, glory carrier, reconciled child of the Most High God. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed by your side. Now, did everyone kind of receive? Do you think you have a good understanding that we are ministers of reconciliation? First, we need to be reconciled to God. If there's things in us that are in discord, we are not reconciled to God. If there's decisions we are making to keep us from true repentance, the repentance that God has for you to walk out, because we walk out repentance. We don't just say, I'm sorry. We walk down the road of repentance. God forgives, but if you're withholding obedience from him, he's saying, do this in repentance, and you're not wanting to do that, well, that's something else you're going to need to repent of. So how can you repent with something that you need to repent of? You know what I'm saying? We don't want to go there. We also discussed that we're going to go out into the world. They're going to have false things in them that's going to get in the way of the reconciliation God wants to do. Narrow-minded people that don't believe in the flow of the Spirit, and people that really believe in the flow of a spirit, but they're not living a holy life. They're operating out of false anointings that God never gave them because they went their own way. We're going to be sent out to all of these people, and we're going to need discernment. And God, I just pray that you cover your people, God, with that discernment. God, we all need it drastically. God, that drastic, drastic discernment. We are so hungry for it, God. Our hearts are open to receive it. We want to give you glory wherever we go. And God is opening up the altar call for glory carriers. Do you want to be ordained by God as a glory carrier tonight? If so, the altar is open.